You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes. If you're watching, yes, I am wearing the same thing this last week because it was a two-parter, so I just recorded it in one sitting, which is nice because that'll take the pressure off getting stuff done at the very last minute next week. This is the second part of a two-part podcast where I talked with Cersei, one of my favorite bands, local phenomenon and beyond. If you missed last week, you can go back and listen to that first before you tune into this one. I'll keep the intro short so we can get right to that episode. Again, you can listen to the old one and ones before that if you want. All the lovely guests that I've had so far, but this was a nice long interview and I knew that it was going to be because we hadn't caught up in a long time. So it's kind of like you're sitting in on a little, visit that we had, but we got to, talk about some good music stuff, some good ins and outs of the business and, tour life and just some fun stuff. And I really love these guys and I hope you do too. I know you will. So if you aren't familiar, you can check them out, Cersei.com, and see if and when they're going to be in your area because they are constantly on the road. I know I miss them all the time. So this is part two of Cersei on Mistress of None. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Waka waka.
I did. I got a Fozzie Bear tattoo.
You did?
I did.
Let's see it.
I can't show you.
Oh, okay.
It's right here.
Okay.
I'll show you a picture.
Okay.
But I wanted this for the longest time. Uh-huh. My little sad story, just to bring it down a little bit more. My sister passed away about 16 years ago. And when she did, we went through, like, that week, we went through some stuff in the attic for whatever reason, to find pictures or whatever. And I found my Fozzie Bear from when I was little. And my sister and I were so close in age that we always had, like, similar things, but just a little different, you know? Like, we had Bert and Ernie, and we had, you know, like, Kermit and Fozzie. So it was like we had to have the same type of toy, but it had to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I had Fozzie and she had Kermit. So I found my Fozzie and I was completely, obviously, regressing. I was also, you know, still drinking and using then. So I was in a great place mentally. But I walked around with this Fozzie for like 3 weeks. And people would be like, why don't you just let it? And I'd be like, nope. Like it was just like stuck under my arm. Like I would not let it go. So between that and I love bears, obsessed with bears, and even mentioned bears in my vows. I sent you that little thing, right? Where I talked about the bears in the yard and because he's a comic.
Yeah. I was going to say you also are pretty great at comedy. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. But it seemed pretty fitting that I get Fozzie Bear somewhere on me. And like you, every time you say waka waka, I'm like, I can't.
Good grief. The comedian's a bear. Do you see who's behind you?
No,
on the
he's
windowsill?
Not. He's a wearing a necktie.
I did see.
Oh,
no, Kermit, I saw the Kermit, which is why I wanted to make sure that I mentioned the Fozzie. So, all right. So you guys are going, you know,
out west.
The second I leave, you'll be back in the van.
Yeah, we're going to go out for about 3 months, going out to across the country, out to the West Coast and swooping around and coming back. And then home for the summer, hopefully be able to write some more songs this summer. That was the plan during the Salmonella January. We were supposed to be writing songs.
Yeah.
It will forever be known.
Salmonella January.
Salmonella month. Yeah. We made some headway with some things, but not as much as we wanted to.
Yeah, that's when we wrote Stupid Little Heart, actually, was January. So, yeah. So it's relatively new. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, so even when Rich is dying, they're still working.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, they keep like mentioning back to me, but honestly, like I've been in a lull, so I'm not as busy as I make it seem. But you guys are like seriously like some of the hardest working. Like there's no agent, there's no manager, which again is control freak, trust issues, which I totally get. People are like, do you have one? I'm like, no, because
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody
else to do it. We did have them for
and
a
they
while,
did not go well.
And they did not do a good job.
Yeah.
And so we tried it. I mean, we tried it.
Yeah.
It just unfortunately
we
was
like
a failed experiment. Yeah.
So, but that's great because you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were signed to a label for a couple of years. We had management. We had a booking agent. We lost a lot of money.
It was a financial disaster.
It was, we learned a lot. You know, like, you know, you pay for your college education. We paid for a music business education.
Yeah.
And we learned that we like it better DIY. And so that's what we do.
I've learned that the hard way myself multiple times. Mm-hmm. I think when you start investing in something, and we're going to get to a point which I think you guys really crushed during the pandemic. When you realize that you're spending money on something and then you have this moment where you're like, what if I learned how to do that myself?
Yeah.
And I go through that a lot. I went through that when I released my first comedy album and I was doing the promotional stuff and I paid somebody $150 to make like a 9-second reel. And it's taken me a long time to like get good at it. But like, I was like, fuck that. Yeah. I'm going to teach myself.
Yeah.
How to do this so that I never have to spend that type of money on something like that. I mean, I appreciate it. I'm sure that I think that it's worth it. This person is good at what they do, but
we don't have expendable income
exactly
in our jobs. No.
Now, that being said, when the pandemic hit, worst case scenario for people in our business,
Easy, Tiger.
I know. We're not essential. I get it. So everybody, if you're, you know, like in the medical profession, just stand down. I'm not knocking what you do. When you are self-employed and you find out in a matter of minutes that you will not be able to work, that is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And at first they were like, I canceled my tour.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot during that time too. I canceled my tour and there were some local musicians that gave me their local gigs because they felt bad. And then within hours it was like, never mind, that's canceled too. Yeah. It happened really fast and things just stopped.
Yeah.
And for me, I ended up doing the t-shirt and the mask stuff, but you guys like created like a whole channel we both did live streams, but like Rich, we haven't talked to you in a while, Rich. Rich became this, like, you gave me a lot of help, too. Like, we had some very...
We had some sessions.
Some very remedial sessions. Yeah. This poor guy had to talk me through some stuff, which I still don't totally get, honestly. I have no fucking idea.
I was here in the house with him, and I don't
so
get it.
So patient with me. But, I mean, you guys...
Well, I had a lot of time.
Sure. But you used it properly. Like your live streams were top notch audio, visual. You really must have learned so much to put this kind of thing together.
I mean, it was definitely a learning curve. It's funny because it was around 4 years ago. I think tomorrow is the 4 year anniversary of the first live stream we did. It was March 19th. You know, my main concern when we went to go do it was making sure that the audio was good because I felt like every single live stream I had seen previous to that, you know.
And that we had done
previous
because
we had done a bunch of them and they were like horrible looking.
Yeah. And sounding.
And sounding.
Yeah.
So I did just like some Google searches on how to make it, you know, look and sound good. So we did that first one with one camera and I got the audio tweaked out. We spent a lot of time in the audio when we had just in this room right here, we had the camera up in the corner. It was basically one thing of software called OBS, which a lot of people were, you know, starting to use. I feel like nobody used it until the pandemic.
Yeah.
And like within a matter of weeks, though, there were a lot of people using it and putting up information about how to do it. So, I mean, it was really just the university of YouTube and the fact that I had so many hours of time to spend on it.
In between your treadmill walks, watching Cheers.
Yes. A lot of treadmill and Cheers.
Yep.
But then, you know, we started doing the camera thing, and you know, I saw that someone else had knocked out their background, like a green screen thing, and we have this blue wall in here, so I just knocked out the blue wall, and then we actually bought green sheets and we put that up because again, we had a lot of free time. But it was good for us. for our mental state as well, because it gave us something to focus on. And you know,
we
obviously,
felt like we lost our purpose.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, we totally did. Yeah,
yeah,
who we were.
You stayed very connected with your fans across the country. That was the best thing to watch. My favorite thing was tuning in and trolling you.
That was my favorite thing as well.
I would like write something and just be like, say something back, Reggie. Read it. And then you read it. And then you both start laughing. I'd be like, yay. Like, but that was how I felt connected, you know, because we didn't see each other in person until August of that year.
Yeah.
And even then we didn't hug or embrace or anything. We stood on opposite sides of the porch. But
It
was very impressive, though, with what you were able to put together.
It was fun. It's strange to say. I don't miss the pandemic, but I kind of miss doing the crazy live streams.
You know?
They were just a different creative outlet. So it was kind of cool to do all that.
And it created a really cool community amongst our fans that I don't know that existed prior to that.
Yeah.
Because they all were chatting with each other every week as well on the live stream chat. And so they all felt like they got to know each other. And then that first year when we started coming back to playing shows, they would plan these meetups and people would travel from all across the country to meet these people that they had never met, that they had chatting with online. And then they became this little, what we call the extended family. And then so we created this little group on Facebook for them to all continue to chat, because once we started touring, we felt like we sort of just abandoned them all and they didn't have their little area to meet anymore. And so, I don't know, that was just kind of a really cool byproduct.
Did you notice that Melanie just said the pandemic hit and she felt like she abandoned her fans? Just, if we're keeping score.
Yes.
On the empath over here.
Typical Melanie. There was actually two fans. This was probably one of my favorite stories of the of people. There are two fans that were a couple, and one of them was in Vietnam. Because she was a flight attendant.
She was a tour guide in Vietnam, and he works in D.C., and he went over to Vietnam for his work. And then he took a tour because he was there, and they met and they fell in love and they were engaged. And then he was back in D.C. working and she was in Vietnam working. And then the pandemic hit and they were separated. They couldn't, you know, because the borders were all closed.
Yeah.
And then they got together. I mean, they talked probably many times during the week, but they also
only at
the live streams.
They would have their date night on.
They
our
chatted
live stream.
And they would send
song requests back and forth to each other, and we would play them.
And now we see them at our shows, and they're married, and it's kind of cool.
Guys, that was
pretty cool.
It's really cool.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's great.
It was good. I mean, it gets you choked up. We had a lot of really memorable moments during those live streams with our fans. Yeah.
And it's what was interesting for me, and like I always feel weird repeating this because I don't want to sound like braggadocious or like anything like that, but I had people that said, I looked forward to your streams so much every week. And I had one guy that was like somebody that's in the program, because I'm sober 13 years, and somebody else, thank you very much, that was in the program said that they were about to fall off. And they happened to see my stream and they knew that I was sober. And they were like, if she can stay sober right now, so can I. And they told me
that's amazing.
A year later. And I burst into tears. Yeah. So it's like, but it's weird to like repeat those kind of things because, you know, I'm not saying in like, this guy told me that I saved his life.
But it's reciprocal because it was a lifeline for them, but it was also a lifeline for us to do those things.
Yeah,
because
like, I mean,
it gave us purpose because
certain people would comment and you were like having a conversation with them. And
And that's what we do. We entertain people and we pour our souls out with our songs. And all of a sudden we couldn't do that anymore because way more important things were going on in the world. And we felt like we kind of, you know, didn't know what to do. And so it was a good outlet for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was tough in my house because, you know, my husband is a first responder and was still going to work, and that was tough for him. And there was like about a month into it, we just had like, it was frosty. Like, we don't raise our voices to one another, but we have, you know, some intense discussions and get past things. And I just said to him, like, I go, I can't imagine what what the world is like out there right yeah. now. I have not left the house. I said, but I go, you are my only contact with the outside world.
Yeah.
And I never realized how much I would miss an audience until I was missing an audience. Yeah. Like the clap hand emojis like only got me so far. It was like the first time that I played out after that and somebody clapped, like I almost burst into tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Applause is a beautiful sound.
It really is. And like you hate to say that, like you,
I know.
You need it that much, but that's why we're in this business.
Yeah.
Because
we're insecure.
We need that validation yeah. all the time. Clearly. And that's what we get. That's what luckily we were able to channel that. Horseshit yeah. into something productive where yeah. we perform for people, where we earn applause and accolades yeah. and stuff. It was, again, not comparing myself to people that were like saving lives,
right.
but
right.
it was really tough yeah. for people in our position.
Yeah.
We were called non-essential and
yeah.
not given yeah. like the shots first, not given like, you know, it was just like we didn't count and we were like really like struggling. I felt like I was doing really good for a while. And then like almost like a year in, like I think that was when I just had like a full yeah. meltdown. That was actually when I fired everybody in my band. I think I just snapped. I was like, brave face, here we go. And I'm like, you know, just like lost my shit completely.
It was a long period of time. Like yeah. It would have been a weird thing to live through for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, you know,
we kept canceling things. It was
definitely over
like,
a year.
We canceled like 2 weeks and then we thought, well, it'll be over by then. And then we canceled another 2 weeks and then we were like, it's not going to be over.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
There
yeah.
were some places I just didn't even bother writing to. I was like, we're just going to assume.
Yeah.
Cancel
it was
now.
Weird.
I was supposed to go to Montreal in April and I just like, I'm not even going to write to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
right.
But the funniest thing about it was like that first week, you know, I started to cancel things and then I realized like if I had waited even a minute, it wouldn't have been up to me anymore.
Right.
And every place was like, yeah, we're just gonna. And I was like, okay, except for Florida.
Yeah.
They're like, you come down, we're still open, we're not. And I'm like, that no, thank
no.
you.
Right.
That's not where I want to be stuck. No offense. So
no comment.
Yeah. No, you guys do well in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
but you still wouldn't want to be stuck there.
Well, it's also, you know, the reason we all weren't performing wasn't because it was
not allowed
a rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was because it was irresponsible
yeah.
for us to gather people in a crowd. It was bigger than us.
Yeah.
And
I felt irresponsible for my last gig that like I played on March 13th.
Yeah. It was bigger than us. And,
yeah.
And, you know, yeah.
I felt really irresponsible. Like when I went home that night, I felt like I had done something wrong.
We did the same thing. Ours was yeah. awesome. We were in Binghamton on the 13th and we were like, we should not have just done that show.
Yep. Yeah.
But you know, it was the information was coming in and you know, you didn't always catch it first and you just didn't know.
Yeah. Like I played Gaffney's and I like talked to the owner and he's like, I'm game if you are. And I'm like, all right. Like, you know, we went and we played and we had a really good time, but like, I was like, ooh. So yeah. what we did was, though, this was the funniest part. The bouncer, he was already wearing, like, the rubber gloves. He was like, you know. And I said, just keep, you know, people from getting. And, like, he was like King Kong. Like, he would just swat people back. With this big, gloved, fat arm. Like, just, like, it was great to watch. I was like, let's just, you know. And some people were coming up to high-five. I'm like, think I'm high-fiving anymore. I'm, you know, but that was, I wore my wash your fucking hand shirt that night, which I built an empire
yeah.
on. So I guess I needed that one last gig to hawk my wares, but no, but you guys, you did great and we made it through and now you're back on the road and yep. that's awesome. Where are you going to be this summer? Any notable places that you want to make sure people know about?
Well, you mean locally?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't think my reach is that.
Our first show back actually is kind of a cool thing. Some fans that have been coming to see us since their kids were little and now their kids are grown and in college are starting the first annual Bethlehem Pride Festival.
Oh!
So it's in Del Mar, New York, and it's in the town of Bethlehem, and it'll be June 22nd, and that I think is our first show back home, and we'll be playing that. So that's kind of cool. And it feels really good to us to be able to do that because we've known this family for so long.
Awesome.
And it just means a lot on so many levels.
The kids were little babies.
Yeah, it means a lot to us on many levels.
Now, do you think your music is what made them gay?
Probably.
Should be responsible.
They've always been very happy.
Little gabies. No, that's awesome, though. I'm glad that Bethlehem is doing something like that. Obviously, the fact that we're talking about it being the first time.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And it's actually being it's sponsored by a church in the area. So,
not all hope is lost.
Nope. Yeah. So it's a really
great event. Yeah.
And we're really excited, and hopefully it's the first of many years of it happening.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's something we're very excited about. There's some other events that I don't know if we're allowed to announce yet, because I have been told I'm not allowed to announce them yet.
That's okay. It'll probably be more of your fans
we'll be doing
listening
some,
than mine, so they already know.
We'll be doing some
events in Albany.
Some events outdoors
Scotia,
in Albany. We are doing Freedom Park this year in Scotia, and
I gotta reach out to her.
We're doing a lot of outdoor local events that are family friendly this summer, so we're excited about that.
Great,
ton of them. Like, people will be sick of us by September when we leave again, because
we're
playing so many.
Impossible.
So, well,
as my husband say, that is impossible. Not because he's dumb; he just likes to say things wrong.
Yeah,
like everything. Sorry.
Your husband's a lovable little goofball.
He is.
You can quote me on that. Little.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
He's a big goofball.
He's a giant masculine man.
Richie's got a crush
on him for
sure.
Your husband's a lovable giant man goofball.
We can say whatever we want. He doesn't listen to this, so it's fine. I think Richie's got a little crush on him, though. Yes. It's kind of cute.
He's a volunteer fireman, right? He's a volley. Let's hope he's not listening.
Them's fighting words.
That's how you check and see.
I heard that's how he gets the most respect.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to, this will probably be the first episode that he listens to because he likes you guys. He'll be like, all right, No, but like, we'll go out to dinner and like the boys will sit on one side and the girls will sit on the other. And we're just like, and they are also like, so it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
The one time a year that we can all get together.
I know.
Happy wives, happy lives.
Yeah. I think you guys talk more than we do, though, you know? Anything else that you guys want to mention?
I don't know. What should we be plugging? We're not doing our job very well.
You're doing just fine.
Go support some live music.
Yeah, even go if it's support not, some yeah, live
anybody
music.
Anybody in this room, but support all three people in this room.
Support us first.
There's a lot of
and then
great,
everybody else.
Great music out there to support. I should probably say go to our website, Cersei.com, and look at the tour dates and find us on Facebook and Instagram and Spotify. Please try to listen to us on Spotify. We have old fans that don't know how to listen to us on Spotify. And for some reason, Spotify counts more than other things. I don't know why in this business. So if you can listen to us on Spotify, please do.
And also, they have set up a pretty amazing thing, which I am very fond of, where they have a sponsorship where people will sponsor a certain amount of miles on the road.
Thank you. We should be plugging that. Thank you, Aaron.
I think that's amazing, though. And not like
the amazing thing is that our fans do it. And it's like, oh, we're so lucky.
We're very lucky.
They do that because you guys are really nice to your fans.
Wow.
They're amazing people. We
try to give them fresh swag every year, some different, unique, fun, goofy things.
You should make some Cersei Pride shirts.
Well, we do have a song called Stand.
Okay.
And it's a song about, it's an anti-bullying song, and we often go into schools and we do peer leadership things with different schools, and we just did something with the Boys and Girls Club in Florida, and we teach kids about being a good friend and bullying and inclusion and things like that. And we donate a portion of all of those shirts to the Trevor Project.
We have stand shirts that say,
they're the
I
pride
stand up
rainbow
for you
with
the pride
stand.
Rainbow.
Yeah. And we donate a portion of those to the Trevor Project, and we sell those all year.
That's awesome.
So we do that. And then we also have Brave and Kind shirts, and we donate a portion of those to a children's cancer charity.
All right.
So,
you know.
So.
That's enough.
We're trying.
I gotta tell you, I gotta, I mean, I don't wanna like just shout out everybody, but like there's a band that we've opened for numerous times named Adam Ezra Group, mm-hmm. and they're very inspiring, and they like every show they're raising money for someone.
Yeah.
And so it really inspired us to, you know, try to do that more than we do. I know that we all play charity events yeah. often, the three of us, I know, but we just thought, so we give a percentage of a bunch of our t-shirts to two that's different good. Charities
that's
that
awesome.
We love.
I mean, you have to give it away. You really yeah. do. Like, I mean, I know that not everybody is in a position to do something like that, but like, I remembered hearing something about like, you know, giving away to get it back, like this whole like philosophical kind of yeah. thing that I normally wouldn't subscribe to. But I was in Asheville, North Carolina, and I saw this busker playing on the street. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, oh, look at Madonna. I'm like, well, I'm a busker too. Like, you know, like, why should I give him money? I'm trying to make money too. And I was like, Aaron.
Yeah.
It's not going to break you. I just went up and I threw $5 in his case. And that night I played horrible show in Johnson City. Have you been to Johnson City?
We've been through it.
Okay, that's smart. Keep that up. Just keep driving. Right. Sorry. But that night, somebody just put like 20 in my cup. And I was like,
Yeah.
And so I've been really good about doing things like that. Off the radar. I mean, I'm mentioning it now, but I, whenever I can, will try and do stuff yeah. like that. And I have found that it is true, that it does come back to me. Like sometimes I'll see like some like GoFundMe online and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't really have it this month. And I'm like, you do. And I like throw like 50 or 100 at it. Yeah. And then like the next day somebody's like, hey, did you want to open for, and I'm like, okay. Like, you know, so it does work out.
Yeah. And it also just like, I don't know. The whole reason that we do this is to connect with other people and make their worlds a little better.
Yeah.
And it just feels good to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it feels good to do something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
When I made some Pride shirts for, we played the Albany Pride last year, and I couldn't in good conscience put, I mean, like, I've experimented in my life, but I'm otherwise a straight woman, you know, like selling rainbow shirts
exactly.
with my logo on right. it and keeping all of that
exactly.
money. So it was
yes.
like, no, yeah. it's like every yeah. bit is going to go to, you know, forget what I picked last year. It was, you know, my husband's travel fund. He needs it. It's tough. I need him out of the house.
Sanity fund.
Yeah, it is hard to pick a good charity.
It is.
Because there are a lot of good ones out there, and there are a lot of not good
terrible
ones out there.
And you taught me that actually
difficult.
About one in particular, which we don't need to mention.
Yeah.
But when I was doing a breast cancer benefit, and I'm yeah. glad that you shed some light on it.
Well, you did one for me, and that money went to...
That went straight to Melanie Kramer.
It did. That helped a lot, and thank you.
But there was one person that was there that worked for this not-to-be-mentioned charity, and I said something to you, and you were like... very sweet about it, of course, because Melanie is not mean at all, which drives me nuts. You
that.
Just like, they, you know, they have a high overhead. Not all the money goes to this. And then I heard about like, you know, some of their money goes to put like pink ribbons on like Dove deodorant. And
yeah.
but none of the Dove deodorant money goes back to.
Yeah, I know.
And I was just like, man.
I mean, awareness is important, but everyone at this point is aware of breast cancer. So,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
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 Ooh,
there's
pink
a,
ribbon. Oh,
there's a
let
great
me buy
web-
this deodorant.
Yeah.
That
a
probably
great website.
Causes breast cancer.
There's a great website called Charity Navigator, and you can go on that, and it rates charities and gives them a letter grade.
Yeah.
And tells you where the money goes. And actually Trevor Project is one of the few charities that gets an A+.
That's amazing. So, I just try and find like local nonprofits
yes.
and stuff
yeah.
like that. That's
yes.
the best way to do it. When
yes.
you know, when you know
yes.
who the CEO is or know who the
yes.
president is, like, you know, if you're not meeting them like in the Caymans, you can be pretty sure that they're putting the money towards. I mean,
yes.
I'm not saying that they don't deserve a salary. Like
yes.
if you're an expert panhandler and you're raising money for a great cause. Yes, you should be.
Absolutely. Yep.
You should be paid for your work.
Right. But not through the charity.
No. Like right. I went to I went to this one, I can't remember what charity it was, but I was working at this place and they, like, I was new blood. So they were like, oh, come to this with us. This is for the blah, blah, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, I was like, what is it? Like, oh, it's like an awards dinner for like the people that helped raise money. And I was like, okay, yeah, you should celebrate those people. It was at Franklin's Plaza. There with the chandeliers and everything. This place is beautiful.
Yeah.
Not cheap. It was like a 4-course meal.
Yeah.
Open bar.
Yeah.
I mean, which I took advantage of, but at the same time, I was like, this is kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This had to cost at least $50,000 to $100,000 for you guys to pat yourselves on the backs for what you're doing. And it's like, that's gross. So like stuff like that. Yeah. Look into it. But we've really gone all over the place today. I kind of like that.
Yeah. We did not stay on track at all.
No.
It was awesome, though.
In one case, it was really good that we got off track because I think we told a fair share amount of poop stories.
We did.
Hashtag bodily fluids.
Hashtag
salmonella. It was a shitty conversation. It really was.
Oh, boy. All
this interview has been a real shit show.
I finally got them to swear. They've come to the dark side. So before the dynamic succubus sets in, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Cersei.com, Melanie, and this guy, Rich. It's been such a honor and a privilege to hang out with you guys. Seriously.
We love you, Aaron.
I love you. I love you.
Thanks for coming to the house.
So much. Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad that if you don't know where they live, I'm going to share their address.
Not only did she come to the house, but she baked us cookies.
I did bake them cookies.
I didn't get a cookie.
I'm not telling you where they are.
We said you would get one if you were a good boy during the interview, and you weren't. So we'll see about that. But thank you guys so much. Look up Cersei.com. They are on Instagram. They are on Facebook. Go to their website. Sign up for their mailing list. Be a sponsor. You know, you see them on the road. Throw a few bucks. You can sponsor.
If you don't know how to spell it.
Ta-da! And if you're just listening, Melanie's pointing to my breast. She's coming dangerously close to touching them. So maybe we could save some of that pride money for us.
My eyes!
We've shared a kiss here and there.
We have.
Yeah. I kissed Melanie on the lips one time at a house party, like a lesbian house party. It was like 2005. And no lie, one woman, she's like, I'm going to slide off this couch. Like, I was like, all right. All right.
That was the only house party we've ever been at or attended where I saw naked breasts on fire.
They were.
They
were ablaze.
Yeah. Boy, that could take us a whole other hour to
talk
about
sitting
that.
We were sitting at the table eating that spinach artichoke dip.
Yep.
Eating the bread, and we were just looking at it going, what decisions did we make in our life that led us to this moment?
That's a breast on fire.
I know that we've also shared a New Year's Eve kiss at least twice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, sorry, Richie.
Stay tuned for the rest of the story.
Stay tuned to see where that pride money is going, you know? All right, you've had two puns now. Get one third
I'm out,
one.
I'm out.
You're out?
Just remember, a washcloth never boils.
Oh, God. All right.
I would like to apologize to the public.
This is why she kisses me, because this is what she has to spend 98% of her time with.
No children. He has an arsenal of dad jokes.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, despite the dad jokes. And I love you both. And this has been The Mistress of None with Cersei. And I am Aaron Harkes, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Aaron Harkes.
Welcome back to the Mistress of None. That was part two of Cersei, my first two-parter. I think I'm going to start doing that a little bit more often. That definitely took the pressure off. Give me a little time off. With everything that I got going on, which is not a lot these days, but it's more behind the scenes stuff. My schedule is definitely lighter than it's ever been, but the work that I'm doing off the stage has been more intense than anything I've ever done. There's a whole new world out there now with content creation, and that's been a majority of how I spend my time, making sure that I am getting a proper audience and staying relevant and doing all of those things. So it's takes a lot of time, but I'm playing the game. That's what I'm doing. So that's it for me this week. It was so much fun talking to Cersei. Mel and Rich, they were leaving the very next day to hit back out on the road. So again, look them up, go see them, be a sponsor, sponsor their tour. Tonight, I've got Women Aren't Funny at Universal Preservation Hall. That's my monthly show up there. Tonight, we've got Karen Rontowski headlining and some other lovely gals. All the information is on my website. It's monthly. It's the first Wednesday of every month, and it's such a great show. We have such a wonderful time, so I hope you'll consider coming out to that. Yeah, just go to erinharks.com to check out more information on that. What else? That might be it for me. You know, sometimes less is more. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoy the podcast, please share with your friends. Follow me on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and whatever. It's all at Erin Harks or all at Mistress of None. And keep coming back. I enjoy talking with y'all. If there's somebody that you want to hear or somebody that you think I should have on, let me know. And hope to catch y'all out sometime. Thanks very much. Be good to one another. I love you, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.